Hey, you craft beer nerds. Welcome to another episode of the Indiana On Tap podcast. We've got the same two crazy-ass people who are generally here. We've got a lot of guests. I'll allow them to introduce themselves.
Try not to knock over anything.
I'm Simon. I'm the guy who poked the magnet in the last episode.
I'm Brian. I was the guy who wasn't invited to the last episode.
That's true.
And I'm Corey. I'm the guy who, like, accidentally spilled the glass on the last episode.
At least you didn't poke
the heard about that, and I don't. I haven't watched it yet, so I don't remember that happening.
It's okay. Simon got called out last time for poking the bottom, so.
I don't think that microphone's working.
Yeah, here.
How about these?
We can share.
Oh, man, there's going to be three dudes on one microphone. I remember this in college. It
three
did not
dudes,
work
one
out
microphone?
There we go. Right. It wasn't turned on.
Oh, hey. Sorry, folks. This is going to be a terrible thing.
Yeah, let's turn that down a little bit. So here we are. We are at Evil Check up in Mishawaka for Liberation Day 2017. Let's grab this. So we're trying this Facebook Live for the first time. So here's the can. It probably looks backwards, but whatever. Liberation Day, this is the Patton Pilsner, right?
It says beer.
All right. It says beer. Jeez. So we've had one heck of a day. We have done a nice little northern beer trip just to get up here. Stopped at Copacetic Brewing, then went to 18th Street, Burnham, Bare Hands, and now we're here. And as you'll probably hear throughout this podcast, Dustin has had quite a lot to drink.
Yeah, fuck you, asshole.
See, there we go. So
it's all positive.
It's always positive. Yeah, I mean, I take this kind of ridicule when he's not this drunk. So
that's why Matt drove.
Yeah, that too. I'm the responsible one today. I'm the DD.
Damn right.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about Liberation Day. Where did this come from? Why do you guys have it? All right. Somebody.
Looks like the guy that wasn't here last time.
So yeah. I'll speak. Well, it's basically because there's a Liberation Day celebrated in the Czech Republic. So this is our very own small version of it. I mean, there's parades in the Czech Republic going on, and there's tons of beer drinking. So our version of that is shooting off blanks with a tank and drinking beer. So, and everybody's here having a good time. We couldn't even find a spot on the couch, so that means it's busy.
Yeah?
You can't shoot off blanks on the couch?
No, not on the couch. You got to do that outside.
Not this couch.
So is that tank permanently there, or does that only come in for today?
That's only today, yeah. This is the second time it's literally been here. Sorry.
Okay.
Who
brings the tank?
Some guy on a truck did.
Yeah.
Why is he not in here?
They are a local military reenactment group. They actually stage some World War II style tank battles in a field about like 30 miles from here.
That sounds awesome.
So they own a bunch of Army tanks, a bunch of German Army tanks, World War II motorbikes, jeeps, guns, supplies, just all that kind of stuff. And they bring it around, they set it up. So I guess General Patton, his push into the Czech Republic was responsible for liberating the town of Pilsen, which is where the style of Pilsner comes from. Mm-hmm. So that kind of ties it back into what Ryan was saying, and just, you know, we're Evil Czech, the owners from the Czech Republic, very close to where all that happened. So it's just kind of a, you know, celebration of all that. So that's where the tanks come from. They get brought along by these guys. And last year there was only a tank, a jeep, and a motorbike here. So there's substantially more equipment here this year.
Okay.
Yeah. When we pulled up, we parked, and there was a tank there. We were like, what the fuck did we get ourselves into?
I remember a tank being specified, but it's a little bit different when you pull up and you're like, oh, there's just a tank in the parking lot.
There's just a tank. All right. That bitch is going to shoot us.
And people are just getting up and getting inside of it. And somebody was like, it's cold out here. It's not cold in the tank is what someone said. I'm like, yeah, I bet not.
I mean, maybe not.
You can actually, they will let you get right inside the tank.
We should go live.
Why are we not doing this podcast from inside the tank?
Right?
Why did we not? Why did we not go live?
Yeah,
from the tank?
We should pause and reboot somewhere else.
Redo this.
We'll get there later.
Yeah. Probably without the microphones.
Facebook Live from the tank.
That would be awesome. We may do that. That's a good idea. So, just like every other podcast, we have a bunch of news, all kinds of stuff like that. And I had everything set up perfectly, and then one brewery out of North Carolina disrupted everything I had set up beautifully here. And since you guys are here, we have to get your opinion, because this is insight knowledge that we have our opinions, but we're outsiders. We probably think a little bit differently. And you guys probably do, too, because you don't own the place. Wicked Weed out of North Carolina was bought out by AB InBev, and there has been a huge backlash, probably more than any that we can remember.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nobody else that we feel has had this kind of backlash selling out, and that's with Ballast Point, Lagunitas, right, some of those super big ones. What's your guys' opinion on this recent buyout from AB InBev?
I'll field this one.
All right.
Woo, right there.
So I think the big thing about Wicked Weed is that it's the first brewery that really had a huge niche market program. I mean, Wicked Weed Sour program is like unprecedented, like in the beer world in a way. And it's difficult because, you know, they have the Invitational coming up, and 20 plus breweries now have pulled out of that Invitational. But by the same token, The family that owns it, the Guthy family, also own Proactive, which is a pharmaceutical drug, and they had recently sold most of their stake in that drug, and it seems like, you know, maybe they were ready to cash out of all the businesses that they had and all those sorts of things. And from a business perspective, it makes sense. You grew up, you know, a business, regardless of what it is, over the last 4 or 5 years, and it did really, really well, and it was time for them to cash out. On the business side of that, that makes a lot of sense. I come from a finance background, so that, you know, building up a business and selling it is a great idea. From a brewer's perspective, it's difficult because they were doing such great things for not only just the community in Nashville, but like the brewing community as a whole with the Invitational and all that. And seeing the brewery backlash has actually been an amazing thing, because it's really divided me from like my business side and my brewing side. Because on the business side, I'm like, yeah, sell out. That makes sense. You're going to make millions of dollars off of the millions of dollars you invested in capital, equipment, goodwill, and all those sorts of things. But from the brewing side, it's difficult because they were really putting out world-class wild beer and world-class IPAs and world-class clean beer. But I think the whole brewery backlash has been kind of, I don't want to say infantile, but like, it's been really interesting to see, because the brewing market has become a mature market as opposed to a nascent market like it was 5 or 6 years ago. And Simon was actually telling me that the Rare Barrel did a live cast of them pouring out the collaboration beer between Wicked Weed and the Rare Barrel. And that's, I mean, it's super harsh, but ultimately this is a business. So, like, none of us would do this for free, I think. I mean, I would love to. Don't get me wrong. If I were independently wealthy, it'd be a great thing. But in a way, we have to remember that, like, every brewer is trying to make a living doing what they're doing. And if you get a chance to do something like that, if you get a chance to make a product that is so good that somebody else wants to buy it, it's great. But by the same token, if you're selling it to an entity that is so focused on pushing the little guy out of the market, it's awful. So it's a really weird like line to walk between those two. And I hope all the brewers and all the cellar men and all the packaging guys at Wicked Weed do well. I hope they, you know, get to do the things they do for a living. I hope they continue to do that and love what they're doing. But It's a weird conundrum being on both sides of it as a beer drinker and as a brewer, figuring out where I stand on it. Like, as a business guy, great for all the dudes at Wicked Weed who made a whole load of money on this transaction. But by the same token, you're really going to squeeze out shelf space for, you know, the local guys. And I think we talked the last time on the podcast.
Avery.
Yeah, Avery, exactly. The like schism between buying regional beer versus buying super local. Like, I like to buy regional beer every now and then, but when I want to buy local beer, like, that's what I'm focused on. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
Yeah, I think most importantly, and this kind of came up with one of my friends who lives in Asheville, which is where Wicked Weed currently does most of their stuff, is she said most of the people in Asheville are livid, pissed off. They don't want anything to do with Wicked Weed. But I think Asheville is very well known for their local shit. And I mean that, like, their mom-and-pop food, their mom-and-pop beer, their mom-and-pop grocery stores.
And the crystal shops.
Yeah, you know, whatever you can do to get local shit from Asheville. And I think they're getting a bigger backlash than say, Devil's Backbone, than, say... Yeah. Anybody else who was sold out.
It's the wild beer thing. I mean, in all honesty, I think it's...
That's all I could think of as well, yeah.
Yeah, like, I think a lot of it, like, they have such a strong cult following and people have really bought into the brand and started to identify themselves as fans of Wicked Weed. I think that's where the majority of the disenfranchised feelings are coming from. I think from a business sense, you know, that's your business becomes successful and you can get money to sell it. You sell it. Maybe we don't know that they needed some kind of capital injection. That might be part of it. Maybe they just feel their beer is good and they wanted to be able to travel further and get distributed to people who can't get it. With them running their own distribution. And speaking as a brewer that worked for an independent brewery that was bought out by a multinational, I saw firsthand that, you know, it did nothing but good things for the brewery and the brand and all the people who worked there.
So I feel like the biggest backlash, at least with AB InBev, has been the way that they've kind of come after craft beer in general. So they try and lobby against legislation that would help craft brewers. They have the kind of bullying tactics when it comes to the pay for play on shelf space, when it comes to distribution networks. And I feel like that's the biggest thing. That's the biggest reason why normal people like us are against anyone selling out to AB InBev. You don't see this with Miller Coors or Constellation or anyone else like that, or Heineken. Like, Lagunitas just sold the rest of it, like, the day after this was announced. And that was probably done on purpose. The announcement was probably made on purpose. But at the same point, would anybody care? Because everyone knows Heineken, but Heineken's not in America bashing craft beer or trying to make all these rules that make it really hard for craft brewers like you guys to get your stuff out into the public. And I feel like that's where the biggest backlash is coming from. And that I completely agree with. I hate the way that they do business. I will drink Bud Light. I will drink Goose Island. And I've only had Wicked Weed once, but I'll probably still drink it again. But it is really hard to support anyone who has that kind of monopolistic mentality of we're going to buy up everyone. So that way we take all the shelf space and then you can't distribute anything without distributing our stuff, and then it leaves, you know, and like the distributor you work with, Craft Road Beverage, it seems like they're doing it
right. Great guys.
Yeah, and it seems like what may come of this is more distributors like that. More of a, okay, we're going to go do craft beer only. We're not going to take, we're not going to take those big brands who have been bought out and distribute them at all. We're going to make it a channel for you guys, and I think that might be the almost the wave of the future in a sense.
I think it's still a good thing. Sorry.
You're good?
I think it's still a good thing, though, because that still keeps the drive for the local and the craft, because it's just like, well, they got too big, so then basically they're AB, they're Budweiser, basically. They're the same entity. So So that keeps us like thriving to keep going on as the independent road, and other breweries keep popping up. Like they're still popping up. Like that's fuel for the fire. It sucks to see someone go, but I mean, like Simon said, you don't know their story. You don't know what they're going through, you know? So I mean, just keeps us in the job, really.
Definitely.
I mean, it keeps us motivated, keeps everybody going.
It's funny that you mentioned fuel to the fire. Matt and I chatted quite a bit about this topic, and I think the thing that kind of stands out the most to me is we chatted about people being bought out, whether it be Ballast Point by Constellation or several others. But I don't believe that we'll call it backfire or the bullshit that Wicked Weed is put up with would be nearly as bad had they been bought out by somebody, say Constellation or say Boston Beer Company or any of these other big beer people, because Anheuser-Busch does these bullshit marketing schemes that are brewed the hard way, or fuck these people that make wicked badass beers because we want to talk about Budweiser during the Super Bowl. Yeah. I don't believe that it would have been nearly as bad. As well, we have a good friend that lives in Asheville. She worked with us for a while, and she made the point that Asheville is very local, and they live and die by the local people, whether that be local food or whether that be local beer. And Wicked Weed's getting a huge, huge backlash from these people that they don't want to be involved with somebody that's not owned by themselves or somebody that sold out to a third party. And they're concerned about the Funkatorium, and they're concerned, you know, they're concerned about everybody else, whether, you know, whether it be the Asheville location or anybody else that Wicked Weed owns. They're just concerned that they're not going to be around because everybody hates them.
I mean, with Wicked Weed in particular, and it's a very particular case because of the kind of beer that they're known for. I think at least in the beer drinker community, it wouldn't have mattered whom they sold to. It could have been Diageo, it could have been Constellation Brands, it could have been Miller Coors, it could have been AB InBev. But because the niche that they fill is such a, in all honesty, very, very small niche of the beer community. I mean, wild and sour beer is such a small part of the brewery world, and the people who are fans of it are diehard, passionate fans. They could have, I mean, somehow I could have come up with $30 million or however much they sold for and bought them out, and people would have been livid just because, like, wild beer in some ways is the last bastion of, like, completely independent brewing. I think that a lot of that backlash is warranted because of the fans that they have. And I'm a huge fan of all the beer they do. It's great, but I think that because of their particular standing of the thing, like the Funkatorium Invitational, which is, you know, a great festival. I've never been. I would love to go, but I mean, like I said, 20 plus breweries have fallen out of that just because of this thing. And I think that 20 plus breweries would have fallen out had it been Miller Coors, had it been Kirin out in Japan, had it been, you know, a Canadian conglomerate, just because it's no longer a quote unquote local brewery.
That's true. Yeah, I feel like Jester King and whatever the other Rare Barrel. Yeah, I feel like they would have had the same reaction no matter who they did it to or who they sold out to. So,
you know, but it's one of those things, and we talked about it last episode, where we kind of overlook, we live in what we'll call one of the sour just kings of the universe. I mean, Upland is crazy involved in the sour world. And it looks like, according to an article that was written by one of the Indiana On Tap guys, that they're not 100% sure whether or not they're going to stay involved in that Wicked Weed Festival. Now, on the Wicked Weed website, they were not involved, to my knowledge. They were not listed as a brewery that was involved. I don't know that that's whether or not that's true or not. I just read what was on the Wicked Weed website. But even then, if they stay involved, you know, do they get people who are pissed off at them? or if they stay involved, is that something that's good for them? You know, are they going to grow? And that's something that's interesting to me is if, say you guys did a sour beer, you guys had a sour, let's use 18th Street, for example. They have a sour, the sour note. They have a sour side to their brewery. If they were to jump on the bandwagon and say, well, look, all these places are leaving. The Rare Barrel's leaving. Jester King's leaving. Well, let's jump on board here because this is Wicked Weed. You know, it's Goose Island and it's a few others, Tin Barrel and so on and so forth. We're going to jump on board. Do you think that they would get shit for that or would that be something that would be accepted?
Well, I think that's a huge dilemma for breweries now. You know, I think in the modern world, you really need to identify your brand with certain causes, and I think that's what you're seeing now. A bunch of breweries are saying, okay, we want to be known as the brewery that pulled out of the Funkatorium, or we're okay with staying in because, you know, we're going to stick to our guns. And, you know, I think it can go both ways. I think most beer drinkers, I don't think they're really going to care. I think brewery owners will want to be seen as identifying on a particular side, but, you know, I just, you know, like that's the way the world is now. People want to know on what side of what cause you identify with.
For sure.
So just a quick update. Upland is part of this invitational. All
right.
And based on a post, now don't quote us on this, but based on a post.
Now quote him on it.
Based on a post on the Wicked Weed or the Funkatorium Invitational Facebook page, 46 breweries have pulled out so far.
Ooh,
and this,
son
of a bitch. This was as of yesterday. So now we do
last
not.
I heard it was 20.
Yeah, and yeah, it started. It was like 7 when Mark Lansbury from Indiana on Tap wrote his article.
Huge.
And by the time it was out like published and everything, it was 26. So this is saying 46. I don't know if that's wrong or not. I haven't
70.
Seen an updated list. But yeah, there's about 70, 75 total on that list that I originally saw. So if you have more than half already pull
that's,
out.
Yeah.
And I know most of it is, and most of it could be peer pressure too. You know, once you see a Jester King.
Everybody's doing it.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
why the hell
you kind of take that stance. And I get it too. But man, that's a lot. And like if you've already bought a ticket to that.
Forget
and
it.
All those people are gone, like, that's going to be, it's going to be incredible to see what Wicked Weed does now for this Invitational. Do they offer refunds or do they offer free tickets? Like, what do you do?
Wicked Weed, if you're listening and need to fill spots, Simon at evilcheck.com.
We've got evilcheck here.
Wow. They have a couple
wow.
of cases.
No, it's one of those things that.
We don't even do sours, but we're coming.
It's oh, what we do. We
whoa,
do.
Whoa, really?
Do I have to go get some bottles? I already have to go get some bottles.
Well,
oh,
it's one of those things where we run into a lot of shit, and
right.
craft breweries in general will run into a lot of crap. And, you know, there were 70 breweries, give or take, committed to the Funkatorium Festival, and a lot of people have removed themselves from the list for one or multiple reasons. And, you know, I appreciate that. I really do. But for places like Upland and for places like Jester King and these other locations that are big, big sour locations, I don't give a shit who owns the brewery. Wicked Weed makes some of the best sours in the world.
It, like I said, that's a big thing for me is like, yeah, it's obvious that's a huge issue. But like at the end of the day, you have guys like Simon making great beer. You have mm-hmm. guys like me cleaning up after Simon when he's done
Woo,
with whatever work
some
he
good
does.
Beers.
But you know, like the guys at Wicked Weed, you know, the cellarmen, the packaging guys, and all those guys—they're still doing the best job that they can, and that's the most important side of the business to me. Is you know making sure those dudes have a job and are doing the best job that they can, and like in some sense, this kind of hurts their reputation when they like try to move on because there's this huge negative social stigma like oh you worked for an AB InBev company I don't know yada 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 but you know what those guys have had a world-class education they're getting first-hand knowledge of how to brew world-class beers and I mean in some ways, I kind of wish I was in their shoes just to see, like, what the backlash is versus how much of, you know, a great working experience they're getting out of working in a facility like that.
Oh, definitely. And I think we chatted about that last time when it came to the Goose Island buyout, right? Where there are people that wait in line for hours upon hours upon hours to get in to get a Goose Island Bourbon County brand stout. And I guarantee anybody involved with the Bourbon County brand name would be able to get hired at any brewery in the country.
Oh, without a doubt.
Without a doubt.
Absolutely.
And even then, I mean, anybody involved with Goose Island is huge.
You popping champagne over there?
Whoa. He just popped a fucking beer, and he popped another beer, and I don't know what's going on over here.
I realize we're like 30 minutes in. We haven't drank a beer yet, and that's very unlike
us for the
show.
Look at him throwing a dart. I mean, Jesus.
Yeah, so the first one, well, apparently you're going to go somewhere else. So I'll drink. Man, this is...
Yeah, let me introduce. The first beer is empty as fuck, and there is no label on it.
It's not empty. There's just no label.
This is an unlabeled bottle. It's actually... it was our citrus and salt sour. It was a blood orange...
God damn it, dude.
Goza.
Okay. You have to tell me how that is. I'm going to drink the Patton Pilsner. So, and then we'll just swap later.
How come I don't have a glass?
I don't know. We don't work here.
That's fair.
You said this was a...
I'm not going to...
Goza? Yeah. Blood orange Goza.
Nice.
I do not like Pilsners. This is good.
You know, I was born in Europe, and so was this dude.
We have way too many beers going on right now. I don't like Pilsner. I like Gosas. This is Blood Orange Gosa.
Yeah. All right. So what I'm drinking is the Patton Pilsner.
I got a Blood Orange.
And this is the Liberation Day beer. And this is really good. Like, I'm serious. I typically do not like Pilsners. It's just a style that, for whatever reason, the taste is just usually off to me. And I don't know what it is. I swear I'm not pandering to you guys. I would tell you up front. I've done it with black IPAs and stuff like that. I dislike them. For whatever reason, this is really, really good.
Awesome.
I really enjoy this Pilsner.
Appreciate it.
The ghost is really good.
Is there anything special about this Pilsner at all? Or is it just...
Other than Trump being on the label?
Yeah.
Aged Trump.
Patent Trump.
There's a Trump on the label.
So it's... just a pretty straight-up Pilsner malt. We use sats for bittering, and we actually use a blend of Mandarina Bavaria, Hull Melon, and Hallertau Trump. Blanc for the aroma hops. Sure.
Okay. Man, this is good.
It's a little fruitier, I think. Well, just a little bit fruitier than like a traditional Pilsner, where you get a lot of that like spice and floralness out of it. It's a little bit more of that... kind of white winey, grapey sort of.
Yeah, I don't think you're gonna do much holding two microphones.
No, I mean, hey,
put
dudes.
Them up and just talk. Them.
Just like, three dudes, I was in a metal band,
so. Double fist in the microphones.
I can see that.
I'm on tracks 3 and 4.
Let's go.
Go big or go home.
I'm sorry, Indiana on Tap podcast listeners.
Yeah, all well. I don't know. I don't know how many we have. There's a lot.
Plus
so.
Of you.
Yeah, if 200 people actually listen to this...
There's tens of us.
There's tens of
us. Tens of 12s.
They're having fun. They're having fun.
Yeah, hopefully they are this episode. We'll see. So, all right, let's at least talk about one other news story.
The assistant brewers have the mic? This is awful.
I know, right?
No, this is good. This is what everybody needs to hear.
So
Simon's terrible. Help us.
Simon under the bus. He calls me... Calls me names.
So one of the big news items out of Indiana in the brewing world, Books and Brews.
Oh,
they are
yeah.
franchising, and they've announced a brewing agreement with Flat 12, which I find very interesting because I don't know how many times I've seen this before. So Flat 12 is going to be brewing the five house beers that Books mm-hmm. has. Books and Brews has. That's Nancy, the Citra Hop Pale Ale. Clifford, the Irish Red Ale. Shogun Soba Ale.
Oh, that Shogun is so good.
I don't think I've had that one yet. Amber Ale brewed with buckwheat. Charlie, which is their Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Chocolate Milk Stout. And the Cream and Punishment Cream Ale. So they're going to brew all those, can them in 12-ounce cans. And then you can also get them in half barrels and six barrels. They're going to be in stores. No idea yet where, but Books and Brews did tell us that, man.
He's ridiculous.
Books and Brews did tell us that they are going to be in stores, and then you'll be able to get them at all of the Books and Brews locations, the franchises, all that stuff. And Flat 12 is going to be the only person brewing on a large-scale production of those five core beers.
No, this is an amazing partnership. You know, contract brewing is something that a lot of, like, craft beer people don't like to hear. I'm not sure if it's a contract agreement, but it sounds like
might be something where Central State did with Black Acre.
Exactly. Maybe that's I think that's kind of the situation. I know that Flat 12 just put in a new canning line that has the shrink wrap sleeves that, that, like, they actually have the sleeving machine for it, which is a huge boon. Yeah, it actually like when it's coming down. It shrink wraps the sleeve and that's then awesome. Like it gets canned, which is amazing. And
it was like a $300,000.
I can imagine. Yeah. It was like $500,000 worth of investment.
Exactly, and I think that's one of the things that gives Flat 12 the flexibility to do a partnership like this, especially with, you know, a smaller brewery in the Indianapolis area that's gotten a lot of buzz, like, you know, Books and Brews. I think it'll be great for both brands because it shows that Flat 12 has the capability to, you know, brew those beers to spec, put them out, put them in on-premise and off-premise packaging, and it's great for Books and Brews because it takes a lot of heavy lifting, so to speak, off of their shoulders, like keeping up with those core brands. And I'm really excited about it because I would really like to see that beer up here way in the northern wastes of Indiana.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
One of the things that is happening with Books and Brews right now is they're franchising.
Which
Jason
is great.
Is going out of his way to make sure that multiple locations have Books and Brews sites. He met with Books and Brews Brownsburg recently. He has met with Carmel. He has met with 10 to 12 other locations.
Selfie time.
Where they're going to have Books and Brews stuff. And my guess is that's going to be brewed out of the northern location there in Castleton area where Jason started. But
it's all Indianapolis to us. You know that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all the same kind of.
It's all right.
Our listeners give a shit.
Yeah. They know what we're talking about.
Anyhow, it's going to be brewed out of where he started, my guess is. I could be wrong, but that's my guess. Mm-hmm. But he just met with Brownsburg, which is out west. He's got a location north in Carmel, and he's got a few other spots where
they're opening one in Muncie.
Yeah, where they're
awesome.
And that's where they're growing rapidly. And I mean, he makes great beer, and he's a fantastic person. So I'm excited to see that happening. But it's really cool. We've not seen most of their stuff anywhere in liquor stores.
No,
the only place we can get it is by going to the original location and getting it in 22-ounce.
Well, I think you could go to Zionsville, too.
Yeah, but for the most part, literally by 22-ounce bomber.
And that's the thing for me is, like, as a guy from way up here, it's when I go to Indy.
Unless we give it to you, you're fucked.
Exactly. Right? It's hard because, I mean, I have places I love to go to and I have friends at. So it's hard to, like, stray away from those places. But it'll be nice. Hopefully, it gets up here, and I'll be able to experience, you know, those great beers.
Otherwise, we'll take care of you.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, we'll just start making weekly trips up here.
You hear that, Jason? We need some beers.
It'll be like a step-parent arrangement. I'll go down 1 week. You guys come up one week.
I mean, Jason, I think these guys need some beer up here.
Please help us.
Somebody is locked out of the building.
Yeah, Blood Orange Ghost
Rogue.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Oh, there he is.
All right.
How's that tasting?
Not too bad.
It's great. I loved it.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I'm hit or miss on sours. I know I'm probably the weird one on this podcast. But a lot of the times the sours, it's either way too tart.
Yeah.
Or just, you know, there's something just way too on one end. It's never like kind of like a balance in between it. But no, this is good. This kind of reminds me of we had 18th Street's Pineapple Gosa today.
We had the Sour Note Gosa today. And
it kind of reminds me of
solid.
That. It's a nice balance.
This is one of the first ones that we ended up bottling. We had the Culver location in just sitting there in despair doing nothing. So we were just like talked the owner into putting barrels down there and just putting Brett and all the stainless and just saying fuck it and just you know, just doing it, and we did, and it wasn't even the first beer that we brewed, but it was the first one that came out of there, and it was the first one that was ready, and we were, I don't know what we were about it. We had to go for it is what it was. We had a time crunch, and we made an event for it, and it worked out, and I think from that one we've just been progressing.
So you just grabbed the bull by the horns.
Yeah, just like all of us, just brainstorm. We talked together, and then we figured out what to do, and whether it worked or not, I don't know.
So how many other sours have you done?
So far, we've had the citrus salt sour. The Goza was the first one. And then we did a Saison, which we doused with 12 strains of Brettanomyces. So that was technically our second one. And then we did a black IPA with black IPA Saison bottle conditioned with Brettanomyces.
Okay. Stuff is good.
And there's more stuff in the pipeline.
And there's more. Yeah. We did a tote beer. We're excited about
what
it.
What is that? I've not heard of a tote beer. So now you're going to have to explain.
It's not a style of beer. It's just a...
It's making shit up.
It's a sour fermenting.
In a tote bag?
In a tote. Well, like, in the big, like, chemical...
Can I make this in the Indiana City container. Tote bag they gave me for...
Yeah. That's awesome.
Well, you know, I was born in Germany, and Totbier, if you spell it the proper way, it means dead beer. So
that's
take
good.
From that what you will.
Okay.
Simon just tucks the microphone away.
Oh, done.
Yeah, try not to get
shit.
It. That's all right. That's all right. So one of the other Indiana stories so we have here, the Indy Star, Amy Hanaline, did a article.
Wonderful writer.
That she is. Did an article on the 9 of Indiana's most award-winning beers. And so they took a look at...
So it was all Sanitarium?
Basically. just
Sun
beer.
King.
That beer and Sun King, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So it was the Indiana Brewers Cup, Great American Man. Beer Festival, and the World Beer Cup. So they took a look at all those from 2014 to 2016. And then combined and ranked them. I don't fully understand the ranking system in this. Simply because I feel like gold medals should hold more, but there's some where they have a gold and the one above them has no gold. So I don't fully understand the system, but that's all right. I'm not here to judge on the ranking system, if any of that made sense. Number one is Sanitarium, Beer Brewing Sanitarium.
You know, to be fair, it's an amazing beer. It is one of the best beers that Indiana puts out. It deserves the ranking of number one in Indiana beer.
They called it the Michael Phelps of Indiana beer.
Absolutely.
So I could definitely see that.
So 20-ish gold medals?
3 gold medals and 2 silver.
That's not Michael Phelps.
I was going for
that's
one
like Ryan Lochte bullshit. That's bad. Like Ryan Lochte. It's not Michael Phelps.
The second one is Beer Brewery's ESB.
That's good shit.
That's 2 golds and 3 silver.
Very nice.
Third was 3 Wiseman Hot for Teacher Miss Doppelbach. Can't say I've ever had that one.
I have like
really?
Years ago though. At the source even
yeah,
too.
Hey, I'm just going up.
Hot
so,
for Teacher. All right.
Yeah.
This isn't a hot.
Did I say,
hot for Teacher is a Fountain Square beer.
Oh, did I say hot?
Yeah. No.
My bad.
Well,
hot.
We all registered hot.
We've had a couple of beers,
did,
folks.
But I also feel like I knew where you were coming from.
No, that's all right.
From the West Coast over here somewhere. Yeah.
So they have 3 silver and a bronze. So this is kind of where the system I don't understand.
Breaks down?
Mad Anthony's Auburn Lager.
This is where the
system
breaks down.
To be fair, it's
classic.
A brilliant lager.
Yes.
It is
has
really
three golds.
They deserve it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no. So my problem with the system is they have 3 golds. Is it because it maybe...
Is
nope.
it a quantity
nope.
over
Why
quality
have we not
thing?
Had that
but,
in Indianapolis?
But then the number 6 has 4 total, and the number 5 only has 3. So yeah, I'm confused with the ranking system. So
you should write Amy.
Amy, if you listen, can you please tell me. I know I probably should have asked. That's like journalism 101. Why don't you ask? Well, because I'm lazy and I did this all last night
fair,
before
though.
I came up here.
Because we done all right? drink all day. And
yeah. So Matt Anthony's is number 4. Sun King Cherry Busey.
Which is...
That's fucking
awesome.
Yeah,
it's a
fantastic.
Brilliant beer. It's brilliant.
That's good. And then the little offshoots that they do of it, the variations.
Oh, I never had
really
an... Wait, what kind of variations
yeah,
do they do with
they
that?
They have all kinds of it.
Well,
they have cherry
they
muscle
do like
Busey?
Well, they yeah. do blueberry Busey.
Ah.
Yeah.
Man. So you can only get them
at the brewery.
The tap room, which, so Sun King
two
does.
Two cans for $20, I'm sure.
One thing,
that'd be awesome.
One thing Sun King does really, really well is they draw people into the tap room. And they draw people in by having cherry muckles and blueberry boosies and so on and so forth, only available on draft in the tap room.
Oh, that's amazing.
Which a lot of places don't do. And a lot of places bottle all that shit and they sip it out, they ship it out, right. So on and so forth. Or they release it in a special release. Well, Sun King says, look, you can get our shit pretty much everywhere. You can get Wee Mac, you can get Osiris and Cream Ale anywhere.
That's it, though.
And a few of the other...
That is really
in Indianapolis. In Indianapolis, we get a few others, but outside of Indy, that's pretty much it.
Oh, that's awesome.
But if you go to the tap room, you get one-off things.
Yeah, like, they used to release all their King's Reserve series. I think it was either Tuesday or Thursdays. I can't remember which one, but I had the day off, and I would go every time just
all
to get
King's
my...
King's Reserves now are sour, which is
which
great.
Is awesome, yeah, and they're putting out, like, great work. So it's nice to see that they're, like, still keeping things just for their tap room and, like, making
which,
sure local
which
folks
makes
get
sense,
it.
But then it hurts the fans who are not in Indianapolis.
That's like me.
At the same time.
That's
because,
true.
Like,
but it brings fans to Indy.
It does.
That's true. It brings me down there.
Yeah.
I mean, I drive. I'll drive 2.5 hours
down
to
Indy.
Thank you.
I'll follow him.
No, like, before I had a job where I had to, like, work every day.
Before he got a real job.
Yeah. No, I would go down there just for the King's Reserve series because it was such a, like, I knew every release that they, whether it be, like, Cherry Busey or Velvet Fog or all those things, I would take the 2.5 hour trip down there just to, like, pick up a couple of can bottles or whatever you call the screw top cans.
Yeah.
And you know, have a, you know, a pint or two now that they have that ability to do that, and it was great.
It's all right. It adds ambiance to the background. We know we're in a brewery. If our fans
there's people
care,
working.
Whatever. Just wait till one of the June podcasts. You're really going to hate us in.
So, wait till we have other people. And
yeah,
and
they're, yeah, it, whatever. Number six here, Carson Brewery Red Dawn. It's their amber wheat.
Carson,
that's pretty good
stuff.
Yeah, Carson.
Yeah, they had distro
good.
Up here a couple of years ago, but we haven't really seen them recently, have we?
No, I mean, they kind of stayed steady with the RIPA and the Brown Cow, and
yep.
I think that was about it. Maybe
is that
the Blonde.
Evansville?
And Evansville,
yeah.
Evansville.
There.
The, yeah. So, and I don't know about any time recently. The last
I've
time I saw him was in Bloomington whenever our booth was right next to him at the festival.
Oh, okay.
So.
Really?
Yeah.
We went
I was
to going to
say, weird.
And we didn't see them.
Oh,
boy.
Sorry, Carson.
Sorry.
What? You went there later then, right? Probably
we
way
We may
later.
Have drank
yeah.
a see 7 or 12 or 20 or so.
That's festivals.
Yeah, festivals.
I don't know who was to the right of us, if that's fair. I just know Carson's was
I'm sure they were very nice.
They were very nice. I'm sorry.
I know that's that from. We. I know that we went and we had a hell of a hard time getting into the festival. But Chris, but Tristan is very aware of that, and that's, you know, whatever. It's whatever.
Also a very nice gentleman.
Yeah. Good job, Christian. Good job. Woo.
Very good job.
Number seven here, Flix Brewhouse Generation Alt. It's a Düsseldorf-style German Alt beer.
Yeah,
that sounds good.
I have absolutely no idea what that is.
That's Chris.
But, yeah, it's probably good. I mean, it's number seven on the
I've never had
list,
it,
so
but I'm positive
style
that's
good.
I was going to say, I was born in Germany. I don't know much about alt beers, so I'm sorry.
I've not
oh,
had
here,
it.
Here we go.
Oh,
Simon's up to bat.
The real European, I think, knows.
Whoa, Jesus.
I'm pretty sure alt is actually the German for
stop.
Old, so it's old. Actually an old style.
Okay.
Ale. Is technically what it translates into. And I kind of think they taste a little bit like Irish reds. Yeah. They have, like, very similar flavor profile, but they got a bit more of a fruity ester. That's all I know.
For those of you familiar with Indiana, for those of you familiar with Indiana brewers, that's Chris Knott out of what used to be Scarlet Lane and a few other spots, but he's now there with Flix.
Awesome.
And I know he does most of their one-off stuff.
They won a couple of medals last year, didn't they?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He makes good stuff. Whether or not you know the history of Chris Knott, or I don't give a shit, but I know that he he's a super solid brewer, and he's got good stuff coming out of where he's at now.
Awesome. That's great. Like, I feel bad because I drive, like, by it every time I go down to Indy because I take whatever that road is. What's the road?
Depends. 69, 65, 70, 465.
Is it Keystone? I don't know. I'm from northern Indiana. But look, I'll look to my right when I'm driving downtown, like towards downtown. I'm like, oh, there's that place that's a movie theater and a brewery.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a Keystone. Yeah. I'm like, oh, that'd be really cool to go to. And I always pass it. And I feel really bad every time. I'm like,
you should go there.
I want to watch a movie and drink a beer.
Yeah. So Keystone, it does run right past Flicks there, and if you've not caught a beer there, I would definitely recommend catching a beer there.
The beer we drink
it's a great place to catch a beer, but they also have some of the best seats and some of the best food for
The super recliners or whatever
in the world.
Man, that sounds good.
Basically, it is a brewery and a movie theater combined. I mean, how the hell can you
that's
go
the best thing
that?
Ever that's we what go I do there, by like my computer room, like my office room all the time. Yeah. Like I have beer and
we go there as much as possible. My wife likes the wine there. I love the beer there. And, I mean, who the fuck can go wrong with beer, wine, and a movie?
That sounds so much easier than smuggling a bunch of cans with
carrying
me.
In your fucking bag.
And fucking coughing every time I, like... or, like, I just have to, like, pop the top real slow and it's like...
That's hardcore. Like, I do that with candy, not beer.
Pussy.
Oh, man. Like, I make my girlfriend, she's got a purse, right? So, like, there's, like,
he's also the one that doesn't
there.
Like hot beer, though. So.
I'll drink it. It's beer. I brought it in with me. It's free now.
I do the same thing. You're, like, opening up your packet of...
Open up my fucking, you know,
open
gummy
up my
bears.
Coke. Like, I didn't buy this here.
I opened my Coke here. Don't sue me.
These Sour Patch Kids were from Aldi.
Yeah.
I bought them for
these Sour Patch Kids.
If I go to a movie theater, I'm getting an icy. I'm a fat kid at heart, and I always will be.
Hell yeah, blue.
Yeah.
Flavor
you
blue.
You get the blue icy, and that's it. Like, oh, there's beer? No, because this is a 2.5 hour movie, and I don't want to have to get up and go
I don't want to go to sleep.
So I'm getting a large icy, and I'm getting one when I'm leaving because it's free to refill.
There's a veteran right there. That's
exactly.
A veteran thing.
Once again, Indiana on Tap podcast listeners, we're very sorry about this podcast.
But if you don't want to be a giant
but now
pussy,
you know how to work the system when you're at the movie.
Exactly.
Theater.
You take beer and you don't be a pussy like Matt.
That's all right. I'll
well,
keep
I don't have
drinking
a Flix,
my ices.
I don't have a Flix Brewhouse around here, so Flix Brewhouse, please come up north.
This is the only one in Indiana.
Exactly. We're jealous.
And they're putting out
I'm
world-class
sure
beers.
The rest
they have,
of them,
you know, they have JBF medals, which is amazing.
Very amazing.
What did they win for? Did they win for the alt beer?
I mean, the alt beer has one gold, one silver, and one bronze.
Yeah.
So I don't know exactly.
That's what put it on the map for me, I think. It was like, oh, there's this movie theater in Indianapolis. Because that's what we call everything down there.
Isn't it in Caramel, though?
It is in Carmel.
The roundabout capital of the world.
So the best thing is we stopped on the way here at Starbucks and I said, look, Matt, I'm going to have you order me a grande caramel latte. But that lady at the front window is going to say, did you mean Carmel?
Yeah.
Just like the city.
She did say that. And I'm like, no, I don't want the city in my beer. I want
not cool.
I want the flavor. But
would you believe up here it's the same thing?
But the thing is, that's the only one in the state of Indiana. It's in Texas. It was founded in Texas.
Right.
And they've got like 9 of them in Texas and 4 or 5 others elsewhere. But they brought one to Indianapolis, and that's really
cool.
Neat. Like,
yeah,
it's
and
cool.
If they're producing good work, I mean, that's the only thing I care about.
It's good shit. I mean, every beer I've ever had there is good. Even their standard beers, like the, you know, WeMac, Osiris, and so much from Sun King, all their standard beers are good. Everything I've ever had is great. Their one-offs are great. The movies are great. the cool thing about it is, I don't know if you've been to, like, Studio Movie Grill or not, but Studio Movie Grill is the same concept, but they don't have... So... Let's say they've got elevated seats for Flicks, and the people that serve you kind of run below you, and they don't interrupt your movie as much, even though Matt's a bitch about it and is a pussy.
It's like in the trenches, ducking covering or whatever.
Yeah, but so they hide a little bit better, and you've got an elevated spot from where they run behind, but Studio Movie Grill kind of runs in front of you. Either way, who can bitch about beer food, and a fucking new movie.
Hell yeah.
Number 8, Sun King Sunlight Cream Ale.
The best beer that's made in Indiana. Yeah, that's right.
That's what I've heard.
It's my favorite beer. So, it's my favorite beer that's made in Indiana.
Run away.
So at my wedding, I had that specifically.
Oh, that's awesome, dude.
It was like Bud Light, Coors Light, and then Sun King Cream Ale. So I was like, anybody, like my, I kind of put my dad in my head. What is he going to drink? The man drinks Coors. That's all he drinks. If it's outside of whiskey, that's all he drinks. But if I ever got him, yes. Let's try not to spill that on me. This poop emoji.
You just threw some shit at you.
We won that.
I was hoping this was a hat that we could wear, but
it's a shit. You can talk about hello. The cream ale?
The cream ale.
Hey,
listen, man.
I just said it was my favorite beer that was made in Indiana.
Man, Sun King is going to come at you hard. They're going to, like, throw this show
into
the bus.
Hey, just remember, the assistant brewer said it was the best beer he had in Indiana.
So it's the beer that when I think of, like, my dad, who's not going to drink craft beer, what could I get him to drink? Mm-hmm. Cream. Any kind of cream ale. Because that's the closest thing that you're going to get to a Coors Light or something like that when it comes to that. Obviously, you know, a Pilsner and Miller's Light go together, but, you know, he's not going to know that. And it's not as easy to get Pilsners and stuff like that from a craft brewery as it is cream ale.
Yeah, especially something easier to turn around or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's kind of my go-to. All right, there's a bunch of old people here who don't drink craft beer. This is what I'm going
to
give
you.
How you
don't have to explain what it is and how it's different to what they're used to.
Yeah.
It's a perfect style.
Thanks for the glass, Simon. I appreciate
that.
Thanks
for the beaker.
Those are expensive.
I have gotten into fights over Sunlight, especially when they won the medal. Was it last year or 2 years ago?
GABF last year.
Yeah, and it's for me, it's one of the best beers that's brewed in the state. And you know what? If you are a craft beer junkie, or if you're a purist, it's a boring beer. That's fine. But you know what? It's one of the most perfectly made beers for the style. And people are like, ooh, Sun King just won a gold medal in the most boring beer category. I'm like, you know what?
But they won a fucking gold medal.
I don't remember if it was a gold or silver.
Miller
or what.
White. Miller Light wins gold medals for
all
Pilsner.
The time.
Well, and that's the thing.
I've got a rack. I've got a rack of PBR in my fridge right now that has a GABF medal on it. Yeah,
North American Adjunct Lager.
Yeah, but
2 years, 3 years in a row, or something.
And people are like, well, "Why are you drinking so much?" I'm like, "Because they put out stuff like Cherry Busey, and they put out stuff like the King's Reserve series. And if they can make a quote-unquote boring beer that well, that means every beer they're going to put out is going to be, you know, that much like quality oriented."
We had that conversation on the way here. I play beach volleyball at Pinheads, and Pinheads has one of the best craft beer bars attached to it in the entire state. And there was this guy sitting at the bar, and I ordered something. I don't remember what the fuck it was. And he said, "I'll have Miller Lite." And I said, "Well, why are you drinking a Miller Lite?" He said, "Well, I only drink lagers." And I said, "Really? You only drink lagers?" He said, "Yeah, that's all I drink." I said, "Well, I really hate to break it to you that Miller Lite is not a lager." And he said, "Well, yeah, it is." And I said, "Well, I mean, it's not. But the best answer I've got for you is Miller Lite is not a lager. It wins awards every single year for not being a lager. Because it's not. It's a Pilsner." And
well, a Pilsner is a lager, just for the record.
Yeah, right? But it's not.
Oh, it's a lager yeast. It's fine.
But
is this going to be a fight?
No,
no. It was more of like when I think of a lager, or at least like a light lager. Bud Light.
Dad beer. Too, but it's not a lager.
Like, I didn't realize.
No, it is a lager. But not all lagers are Pilsners.
But not all Pilsners are lagers.
Like, all Pilsners are lagers.
There's only two kinds here. There's lagers.
Is it bottom fermenting or top fermenting? That's all we need to know.
There's lagers and pale ales. That's the
does
only
it catch
Simon,
or pitch?
Help. Simon, help.
Does it pitch or catch?
I'll rewind a tiny bit. Just add on like something that was touched on about the cream ale. I think we're living in a world where, you know, a good beer and exciting beer are being confused as the same thing. I think people expect beer to blow them away every time they taste it, and they don't recognize what a well brewed beer is.
Good point.
Versus a beer with exciting flavors.
Mm, that's good.
You know, I think as a brewer, some of the best beer in the some of the best beer in the world is Budweiser, Heineken, Miller, Coors. You buy it in America, you buy it in Europe, you buy it in Asia, it tastes the same. It's not all coming from the same brewery in all those different continents. Their consistency is impeccable. It's not very exciting, but I think people have to start to separate exciting beer and good beer. They're two different things.
That pisses people off, right? Because Budweiser makes a fucking solid beer. They really do. And I don't get me wrong, I am the last person who will walk up to a bar and go, you got 49, 50 beers on tap and I'm going to order a Bud Light? Fuck that. But I do appreciate what Budweiser, what Miller Coors
does. It's amazing
does.
How consistent they are across. I've had Budweiser in North America, I've had Budweiser in Europe, I've had Budweiser
everywhere.
In Asia, and it tastes exactly the same. You know how amazing that is as a brewer to be able to like make that beer consistently across.
It knocks your socks off.
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah, it's brilliant.
Well, and a lot of people say the same thing about Sun King. They say it's boring.
Yeah.
It's not because they
that
only
doesn't
see
mean it's bad.
Exactly, but they only see, you know, three or four beers at a time. They see their three house beers and then the seasonal kind of thing that they're running, Fistful of Hops, Pachanga right now, if I'm saying that right.
Excited to try that.
The Pinata.
Yeah. The Lupulin Astronaut, like stuff like that. Like they'll kind of get those out and people can try them. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, everyone's just like, it's cream ale.
But here's the thing, like all those boring beers they make allow them to make all those awesome beers.
Well, my point,
it's the hardest ones to make.
But my point of that was, anywhere you have it, it tastes exactly the same. Whether you have it in a can, whether you have it at
which is amazing
the brewery,
it's brilliant.
Yeah, like they do something. I've always said they are the macro of the craft beer industry here in Indianapolis.
Yeah, when I go to a beer bar,
they do is exactly the same.
Oh, and I don't know what I want. I get a Sunlight Cream Ale it's a beautifully made beer, and I know it's going to be the same every time I drink it.
So here's a fun question, and this kind of leads back into the original topic of Wicked Weed. If somebody from Indiana were to be purchased by AB, by Sam Adams, by anyone, whoever the fuck it may be, by a big brewery, who and why?
Ooh. Oh, man. I work in this industry, so I don't know if I want to answer this question or not.
You should answer it.
Who and why?
Ask why because there's a lot of places.
I'm not going to answer that question.
So
no.
We talked about this on the way up here. There's three that I feel
kinda
are big
out.
Enough.
Mm-hmm.
That a place
so,
like an
Upland, AB, Sun King, and Three Floyds.
And Three Floyds are kind of the three big ones.
Yeah. We have others, but that's the one.
Those are the three biggest and kind of in the state that, you know, everyone knows outside of Indiana.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
Without a doubt.
But maybe too big to buy at this point.
Wicked Weed has only been open 5 years. So is it anything too big to buy?
I guess not. I guess saying too big is the wrong way, but like, if they were going to come to Indiana, do we really feel like they're...
Do we feel like Clay would sell
out? Would AB InBev offer anything that those three can't do right now?
Well, from a logistics perspective, yes.
But like, so like Sun King, they're focused only on Indiana. And that has been their
entire
focus.
Well, so was Shorts until like 6 months ago.
Indiana.
Okay.
Yeah.
They were focused
only on Michigan.
Upland seems to be known worldwide. But especially because they're sours. I know you can't. They're working on distribution, and then Three Floyds is just Three Floyds. So like,
what does that mean?
Like everybody fucking knows about Three Floyds. Right. Who doesn't know about Zombie Dust? You say Zombie Dust, and
that's what I mean.
Dude, talking about when he was living in Ireland and working in an Irish brewery. He's like, oh yeah, India's on the beer map because of Three Floyds and Upland and all that sort of stuff.
So like, do they really need the backing of AB InBev at this point?
It depends on your like logistics perspective.
Yeah, and I mean money is one thing, but like would it make sense for them to sell out? Maybe not as much. So on the
who
way up here,
and why
we kind of thought about What are some, maybe some of those middle tier?
You know, we're brewers,
guys?
Right? You know, you're compromising my future, like, hireability.
My opinion.
Give me who and why.
Opinion. We have ideas, but.
No, my opinion, I'm going to throw it out there. My opinion, the best one on the market at the moment, and don't take offense to this, is Taxman.
Yeah, me too.
Exactly. Because, one, they do one style, not one style of beer, but everything's Belgian. It's a very specific.
And they do it brilliantly.
And they do it brilliantly. So you buy them out and you start spreading that. That's something that, you know, like they got Wicked Weed. Now they're in that sour market. So you don't need an Upland because that's what Upland's like. Most known for. So now you take Taxman. Now you got that Belgian market. And you gotta go from there. That was kind of what I threw out as.
That's a good theory, honestly. I think if any of those like kind of middle tier ones, that's up there. And
Simon's making like.
All right, I'll jump in.
Okay. Listen, it's all right. Okay. If you guys don't want to answer, we understand. But we.
Okay.
It's our journalistic integrity to throw this out. I'm just kidding. We have none of that.
Say evil check. No.
Yeah, don't throw yourself off the
evil
cliff.
Check is ripe for sales.
For AB InBev right here.
I mean, Simon's already ready to go to the Funkatorium invitation.
Yeah.
He's ready to throw himself completely
in the bus. He's ready.
Where do we sign?
Yeah. Where is the money? Oh, I get health insurance? Let's do this.
I always buy Taxman beer.
But I think, you know, when a brewery gets to a certain size, there are, you know, the bigger they get, the fewer options they're left with. I think you look at somewhere like Lagunitas. They're so big. I think they're in every state in the U.S.
Feels
it's
like
the
it.
Top-selling IPA in the country. They are probably not running at full capacity, so what's next? They need to start exporting, and it's much easier to export your beer when you're either in partnership or owned by an international brewery. So, you know, it can be the logical next step.
Yeah.
You know?
So it's funny that you mentioned Line and Google. Matt and I, on the way here.
Lagunitas.
Lagunitas. Sorry.
That's all right.
Different state.
Google's already sold out.
Lots of bells.
Listen. We drove like 5 hours total to get here today. We talked a lot about beer.
Anyhow.
A lot about beer.
It's funny you mentioned Lagunitas.
Lagunitas. Do you somehow?
I got you covered. Lagunitas.
Anyhow.
Lagunitas.
Combine the breweries.
With them. They literally chose the best time.
Oh, one day after
the best time.
Yes. That was brilliant.
To go
day.
Look, we're gonna go ahead and we're gonna sell our shit. We're gonna sell our shit to
match,
Heineken.
Though. You know what? Fine match.
Yeah, and Tour de Biguis like 100 years old.
They went, best time. Sell it.
Like Holland and weed. They're like all. It's all
done.
Weed.
Let's
they're
get rid
fine.
Of this shit. Like
they're
we're
gonna
done.
Go all hang out in fucking the Netherlands and go get high. It's fine.
They They went. Let's sell right now.
Just so the camera guys can
Let's
see, Dustin is now opening up a bottle of Stalin with chili.
Where did that bottle come from?
Over here.
I don't
here.
Ask questions. I just I,
yeah.
beer.
No, I don't either.
I found it.
So we haven't gotten to the beers that I brought over.
I don't ask questions.
So hold on.
Say,
we still got time. So,
oh, okay, cool.
So
yucky duck.
So we only made it through 8 of those beers. The last one, number 9.
Oh,
so that
Lord.
Way Amy gets
Number
her whole
nine.
Thing. Hopefully she's not mad that we're reading this on air.
Sorry, I sold a lot.
I'm going to wave to the public.
I know, right? Sun King Batch 666.
Oh,
the Death Batch.
Sympathy for the Devil.
Yes.
Bourbon Barrel-Aged Belgian Style Black Ale.
Which I don't know anything about. But
I don't
know
either.
What? Just based off the number of the name alone, it's my favorite beer.
It's going to be damn good.
Cinnamon, vanilla, and chili peppers.
Right there.
Yeah, put that in front of the camera.
All right. So for that one person that's watching, and I'm pretty sure it's Dustin's friend Emily, because
hey, thank you, Emily.
She commented earlier about the dead
You're
beer joke.
Best support her. We're gonna
this
record
is,
a live podcast from my birthday.
Yeah, so this is a Stalin variant that I will let Simon describe because he is the head brewer.
It's
well, he made me put stuff in it.
Variant of our Russian Imperial Stout with cinnamon, vanilla, and ancho and chipotle chili peppers.
Man,
it smelled really good when they were putting those stuff in there. Just for
it
the record,
good now.
I don't know about this beer. I'm not gonna lie.
He's a pussy when it comes to peppers. So
no, it's got a lot. It doesn't have a lot of heat, but it has a lot of like the skin flavor.
Bus,
I think.
Throw him under. It's okay.
That's the, if you haven't caught on, that's the entire point of the podcast.
You know what? To be fair, he's my favorite one of you.
That's fine.
I love you too.
I'm the one who's not rich. Drunk at the podcast.
Heyo. Somebody's got to make this thing run.
Yeah. I'm the one who set it up while he's wandering around doing.
No, I'm the you of here.
Fuck you. Oh, yeah. I was with him.
Well, that's true. That's fair. That's fair.
Simon's back here like, where's everybody at?
I'm
like,
was with him.
Dude, yeah, I don't know.
I just had my gold time outside.
I grabbed the gear. I came back here, and you're the only one back here.
I was with Corey. Not my fault.
It was totally his fault.
One thing we
I
should...
don't smoke. It's his fault.
Yeah. One thing we should probably mention.
Damn it, Corey.
Get near the end of the podcast here. We'll probably drink a couple more beers.
7, 10.
Yeah, who knows?
12.
This episode is brought to you by the Tasting Society Marketplace. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to be that boring about it. So
it's brought to you by Evil Check.
Evil Check. Get out here.
We're a part of it.
Drink some beer.
Mm-hmm. So they are a part of it. God, it's $59.95 a year. If you use the promo code podcast, you get $10 off your first year. You can learn more about it at www.tastingsocietymarketplace.com. 165 plus offers. We used one up at Bare Hands today.
Oh,
we got
$7.50
off our $18 flight.
We tried to use one,
which I'm pretty sure they gave us a better deal than that.
It's Bare Hands.
Yeah. We tried to use it at 18th Street, and we're like, wait a minute.
That's expensive as fuck.
We should probably hold off because we've already drank here. But so check that out. Go ahead, use that promo. It at least shows our boss that people listen to the show.
And if you go to 3 or 4 breweries,
easily,
and use the marketplace, you're gonna save what you've paid for the marketplace.
Oh yeah.
If you use Indiana on tap, or I'm sorry, if you use podcast. As
I don't know the thing.
If you use podcast,
he's so drunk, he's just repeating what I've said at this point.
That's what he said like 20 seconds ago.
I know. I've caught this multiple times today.
If you use podcast
as a promo code, is what they're trying to say.
It's
going to
be cheaper.
$10.
Wait, what cast?
Podcast.
Got it.
Wiener cast.
Oh,
whoa, slow down. That's a different discount on a
So to
website.
The guy on Reddit who wants to know whenever this shale goes, or shale. Show goes off rails.
We won one too
Man,
far.
Man, I combined
We're
words.
Way ahead of you.
Yeah. Not
We've
only has it been since the very beginning, but right there. That's your point that you're looking for, guy on Reddit that I've talked
Indiana
to.
Indiana on tap.
Yeah. Indiana on tap. All those people. So, obviously, I'm probably not going to get to talk about the events I went to, but that's all right. Next Top Model, that was a fun event.
What events did you
go to? Oh, man, I'm sad I didn't
make
it.
Well, I went to Next Top Model. It was pretty cool. Redemption won.
Tell me about it.
Oh, Redemption won. What did they
Redemption
do?
Won again. So they were technically co-winners with Metazoa. I know, but
did they dressed up like freaky furries again?
No. See, I wasn't
people?
There last year.
They were dressed up as naked people.
Yeah, the guy came out dressed as kind of like a Hawaiian type guy with a lot of body paint. And they had painted the Redemption logo on his stomach, which I thought was pretty impressive because I thought it was a sticker. But it turned out to be, I haven't had any of that yet, so don't drink it all. I'm trying to finish up
That's really good.
Cashmere outside.
You know what, Simon, why don't you talk about Cashmere Outside for a second?
Yeah, we'll go into that because I love Dustin's version
of this. It's already off the rails. Why not?
God damn it. It's exactly right. Cash me outside. That's what it was about.
I know,
hear
about
to be
this
fair,
20
as,
minutes before
as
the
one
podcast
of the guys that
started.
Works here, I had no idea what Cash Me Outside was
right?
until
that's
Simon
right.
explained
that's what
it
it's
to
about,
me.
Right?
I had no idea what it was
no.
until I,
yeah.
you know, just
don't give me
you know
kept
you're
on
getting
looking
old.
Confused when people said it to me, and I was like, what?
Yeah, you know you're getting
Matt's
old.
Giving me shit when I'm right.
Catch me what?
You know
How
you're getting
what?
Old when a meme is, like, way above you. You're like, I don't know what that means. Like, what is that? I had to have people explain it to me. Like, what is that from? Here's the video.
Turns out it's a
14-year-old
girl.
I don't understand
girl.
It either.
Why do I have to watch 5 minutes of Dr. Phil to figure this out?
I don't understand it either. The reason I understand it.
I'm out.
The reason I understand it is I have... really young people.
Define really young people. That's weird.
Like 22, 23.
And that's going to be the podcast.
We'll see.
I have younger people.
I don't need Dustin getting arrested for this podcast.
Fuck off. I have younger people.
Right, you missed so much.
Oh, yeah.
All right, not adultery, but something similar.
Okay.
All right.
You miss
young people. I have younger people.
Oh, no.
22 just, through you know 25.
What? Just young adults, you know what? At least.
Yeah.
Christ.
I think
there are people in my 30s.
But who play volleyball with me.
Okay. In the basement.
In the basement.
They're the nest.
But yeah. Anyhow, fuck these older guys right
Whoa,
here.
Wait a minute. What the fuck is this?
That is.
Fuck you. Hide it. You know, Hide it.
We've gotten away from weird anyhow, sexual things and gone back to beer. Don't
but
worry.
But for the best part.
Local beer.
Growler?
Mm-hmm. I have people.
I'm sure
for
you
lack
do.
Of better terms. Who tell me to set them outside.
Slaves.
I don't know what that means.
And I'm like, I didn't either until I watched the fucking video of Cash Me Outside.
So someone took a volleyball reference and turned it into...
No, backwards.
took a meme and turned it into a volleyball reference? Like, that's just...
I'm a nerd. I play volleyball a lot.
Like, welcome to the Indian on Tap podcast.
When did playing volleyball mean you're a nerd? What?
No, there's no way volleyball means nerd.
No.
No.
What does that mean?
Do you play...
That means you're a jock. You shut up and get out.
Do you know about hurling?
Wait,
hurling?
I could,
if they offered it, I would
you can be a volleyball Irish nerd, but you can't be a nerd that plays volleyball.
If hurling's from Ireland, right?
Yeah,
because they have an Irish Fest downtown.
They have a league down in Indianapolis.
They played an Irish Fest every year because it looks somewhat like lacrosse, but with
it's
wooden
like
sticks.
Lacrosse meets hockey.
But they kill each other.
Yeah, well, it's fucking Ireland. What else are you going to do? You're going to drink.
If they offered it, I would play.
Kill each other. That's all there is.
I'm the type of guy that would play.
It's hard because he knows I'm right. I've been there once and I know this. They had a soccer match. It was so big.
Bad.
No, hold on. I went in 2010, and what I learned was on Sundays
the bars were
closed. No, the bars are closed on Sundays
because you play soccer.
No,
until after church.
Yeah. Well, okay.
Fuck that.
But
in Europe,
there,
you play
hold
soccer.
On. But there was a soccer match. That was on at like 9 a.m.
Wait, don't you mean football?
Football.
Manchester
that was
United
on at like
versus
9
Liverpool.
A.m. And I don't remember who it was, but it was so big that they like made a law that all the bars could open early, specifically
mm-hmm.
for
Manchester
that soccer
United.
Match. And it was the week I was there, and I'm like, that's insane.
That's Manchester United.
Like, I can't imagine that happening here.
It might be Manchester City. You don't know. It might be correct. Manchester City.
It's Manchester
it was
just something.
Neither of those places are in Ireland.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he's just... You know what?
I'm just talking big soccer, big dick, you know, whatever.
Wait, what?
Oh, this is...
So
what's the next beer we got?
I don't know. What do we have?
Yakida.
Yakida? Is that how you... How do you even open this? I've never...
So you open it like a can because it's a can.
Front teeth.
Listen.
I was
going to
say the same thing. Right. Give him a crosser.
Just open your teeth, bitch.
Oh, give him a cross. That was good. That was a football joke.
Hey! Hold on. I got to drink this...
awesome stout.
Stalin's.
No, it's
awesome.
Brilliant. Yeah.
Oh my god. Chug it, man.
Don't chug it. It's a
says
bad
the
idea.
Guy that lives 10 minutes away.
Listen, no, I got a 2.5 hour drive home.
You know what?
I got to be the one who drives.
That's fucking
that's
good.
Fair.
Appreciate it.
Awesome.
That's
thank
good.
You.
That's good. Desert. So, when it comes to beers with like any kind of pepper in it, I really feel it in the back of the throat.
He's
I don't
a giant
feel
cookie.
That at all. No, it's not a matter of that. It's just like jalapeno. I hate the taste of jalapeno. It's not spiciness. I hate the taste of it.
Well,
I'll eat habanero.
Just like the flesh flavor of it or whatever?
I don't,
I'm just jamming
the
back.
Was a loaded question.
Yeah, it was. But
for the flesh flavor of it.
But that's like why we chose the more subtle of the peppers.
Yeah,
because
it's a guajillo and ancho.
This, I just get a lot of vanilla.
For those,
I don't really taste cinnamon.
Man, that's all I get is cinnamon.
So Matt
and apparently, that's a thing.
Yeah,
I was on the Speak podcast, which is a completely different podcast.
Yeah, no, they're great deals.
We were at the Broken Beaker Brewery downtown on Mass Ave.
That should be here because we break beakers.
Yeah,
like, daily.
And they were like, "Here's our." It was like cinnamon vodka or something like that. And they're like, and the guy specifically said, some people can't taste the cinnamon.
That's weird.
So we all went around. I'm like, I don't taste
yeah,
any
can't
cinnamon.
Taste cinnamon.
And everyone else is like, oh, cinnamon forward. I'm like, I don't know
you
what any
it,
of this
though.
is. Do you smell it? But you can't taste it. But I'm also
weird.
That weird guy that like cilantro tastes like.
Oh, you get the soap?
Nasty. Oh, God.
Weird.
Yeah, anytime I buy some like pre-made salads, I'm like, shit, there's cilantro in here.
Well, for me,
like one bite in, I'm like, well, I'm ready.
Amarillo hops. I don't get anything out of Amarillo. And it's like one of the hops.
This.
Do this.
I don't know what he's pointing at. So it's a little hard.
So last episode, we had
live stream.
We had this Russian Imperial Stout, but it wasn't
non-variant version.
It was the cinnamon and vanilla mm-hmm. with peppers on the episode, and mm-hmm. I was a fan, but I'm far bigger fan of the one with the cinnamon and the peppers.
That's all this dude over here,
and we have one with coffee.
Well, my reasoning
is like, and we have this other one.
Yeah,
no, it's coming.
My reasoning.
There
my
goes
reasoning
Brian.
Being, and I'm a big fan of spicy beers, and I like cinnamon. And I'm sorry that this guy cannot really taste.
There's like no spice in this.
You can't even taste cinnamon.
I
can't taste cinnamon.
So this beer tastes like a fucking smoky Imperial Stout. Right?
I don't get that.
I just get
the vanilla.
He just tastes.
It tastes like vanilla Imperial Stout.
But
there's like a little bit of a kick. But
so for those of
not
us,
enough.
I'm a fan of the subtleties when it comes to like spice additions. So like, I never really want to taste anything super prominent. I want everything just to kind of be there in a nice balance.
Yeah, and I
even when it comes to the barrel, like I do not like. Barrel aged beers that taste like nothing but barrel.
Yeah, where the barrel kind of takes over everything.
It should be a backup flavor component, not the main flavor component.
No, definitely. And I appreciate every single flavor that you guys put into any sort of the Imperial Stouts. This one here with the vanilla and the cinnamon is way up my alley, but we were talking about my birthday here coming in June, and we've got all kinds of beers that we've been aging forever, and we've got all kinds of shit that we're looking forward to drinking, but this is just, it's something different, and it adds a different flavor, and you know, it's one of those things that you look for in a beer. Having been able to travel to different locations, I've traveled to Oklahoma. I've hung out with the guys that do Prairie. I've hung out with the people in Missouri.
Name drop.
Oh, yeah, hold on.
I can name drop more if you want.
He's got a shirt. Wait, you got a Prairie shirt on right now?
I just got a shitty Prairie tattoo, guy.
Wait, what?
Yeah, do you know Chase?
Yeah.
No?
You just got a Prairie?
Whoa. He doesn't know Chase, and he's got a Prairie tattoo. I'm sorry.
That has to do with Prairie. That looks like a catfish.
I can't. I'm gonna skip.
A gangster catfish.
It's for love.
I'm going to skip that, but I appreciate it.
It's all right. That's please. Thank you.
I've got a Prairie tattoo.
That looks
Chase,
like a gangster
that's
catfish.
A one under.
Is that what,
not a one
what their logo looks like?
I guess I'm appreciate that.
It's all right. I'm going in July to American Solera. And
but
we're going to hang out.
That's fucking awesome. But just like so, you know, I've
we're
been...
going, but we're not going to hang out. I don't know if he's going to be there. I'm just going.
I can help with that.
That'd be awesome. That'd be fucking awesome.
I know a guy.
That'd be awesome.
He doesn't know anybody. You're screwed.
Fuck you. I know all kinds of people.
And the FedEx guy.
But, you know, with Prairie, it's great. With Trace, he introduces a lot of flavors that you don't get
for sure
Imperial Stouts, and you know, the first time I had the bomb was there in Oklahoma, and the bartender was like, you should try this, and I was like, well, what the fuck, why not?
Yeah,
well, I had four of them before I decided they were 13% ABV. Not a good idea. But with somebody like you guys, it's great to see you guys introducing flavors that we don't get a lot in Imperial Stouts. We don't get cinnamon, we don't get pepper a lot in most stouts here. We get some coffee and we get maybe some flavors that most other places don't get, but we don't get a lot of flavors. And it's good to try something that's just way the hell off the map And it makes you guys happy, and it makes us happy.
Appreciate it. Yeah,
for me, it makes me really, really happy because it really equates to Prairie Bomb, and it equates to something like from Missouri. It equates to some of. I'm sorry,
something
I'm
weird.
Blanking. Yeah, it equates to some of those really good beers. Yeah, yeah. But I'm excited to see something like this coming from you guys. The last one we had was Super Smoky. This isn't Super Smoky.
Super Smoky?
Yeah.
Do I have to get that bottle out too?
I definitely think the normal variant is definitely smokier than this, for sure.
Look at the fucking brewer says I'm right.
Okay, so no, hold on. I do remember he
said... I didn't say he was right.
There is a
smokier than this.
Yeah, there is a smokiness to it, because I remember he specifically said that,
there
and
is.
I agreed.
There is.
There is a smokiness to it.
I still
but
get that from this one.
That's
though,
not
yeah,
this one.
It's
this
still here,
but
I think the other flavors layer on top of it more than the...
Either way, what's the crowler that you guys brought? Because I can't pronounce that.
I'll take that one.
So this is a crowler from Yakida Brewing Company in Elkhart, Indiana. It was the
horribly wrong.
The brewery I first worked for. It's unpronounceable. That's fine. When you come up to Northern Indiana, you'll see a jumble of letters. That's how you know you're in the right place. But this is Dragon's Lair. It's their coffee imperial stout, which is brewed in collaboration with the refinery in Goshen. They do it once a year.
He's gone again.
Man, but just let him go. Just let him
that's
go.
That's like the 10th time he's peed today.
I'll
like,
take his
I don't,
spot.
I don't understand. How small is that bladder?
Indiana on Tap Live.
Oh, man. It's, yeah. Yeah. But, let's follow him to the bathroom.
Yeah, so Yakida is a little dinky brew pub up in Elkhart. They have a 7-barrel system, but they are, like, wholly dedicated to the area that they're in, and it's great. They have their 5th anniversary coming up on June 3rd. They just sold out 700 tickets in 5 days.
Oh, yeah, the
for their party. Dragon 5. The Dragon 5, yeah. It'll be the last time I get to be a Yakida employee, which I'm very, very excited about. But, no, this is their coffee stout that they release once a year. So it's an 8.5%, I think. Coffee stout.
This is 9.3%.
Oh, it says 9.3. Oh, he's beefed it up since I left. So,
well, it's the imperial coffee stout. So maybe.
Well, that's the way it's always been.
Okay.
I thought it was 8 something, but
it
yeah,
says 9.3. Maybe someone wrote it wrong.
Well, you know,
incredibly smooth is what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Regardless of the
it's amazing.
If they are listening, they should answer us and let us know.
Hey, you know, they're right over there. Is. Oh, there's people cheering.
Why are people cheering?
It's because are they listening to us?
Probably.
No, I don't think it is. Somebody's standing up.
No, they're listening to us. It has nothing to do with anybody going on in there. And they're cheering us
on.
Thank
you, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you, yeah. All those people who can see us through the window and have no idea what's going on right now.
Oh, but yeah, this is it's a big imperial coffee stout that Yakida does once a year. And they don't do very many high-gravity beers. Chip is a very continentally oriented brewer, so he likes to do like low 4 and 5% like English style beers, and every now and then he pulls out a brilliant imperial stout or a double IPA, and this is like for this time of the year his beer.
This is really good. I love coffee stouts. I like stouts. When I first started drinking craft beer, I was mostly into pale ales, IPAs,
of course,
that kind of stuff.
Of course.
And then my wife, who was my girlfriend at the time, she didn't like craft beer. So I got her into it slowly with ciders. She loved porters and stouts. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, we can't share anything. It's all, everybody has to drink something different. So since I've joined Indiana On Tap almost 2 years ago, my palate has changed completely. Like, I like IPAs, but not as much anymore. Like, I'm more of a stout. Like, give me something with less hops. Anything English style, I'm 100% on. Especially like barley wine. There's just something about like, especially like barley wine, there's something about not having that super hoppy flavor in it that just tastes so much better.
No, and I hear you. And sometimes it doesn't have that whole burn down the throat and into the stomach. It's just a heavy malt forward. And,
yep. Yeah, and as we talked kind of earlier, we went to 18th Street. And the Evil Czech Monk that we had on the last show was very malt-forward IPA. And that's not something that we get down in Indianapolis. And we went to 18th Street. tried their Dark Phoenix. I don't remember the full name, but it's something Dark Phoenix. And that's and it tasted exactly like Evil Chipmunk. Mm-hmm. And I was like, nice. That's incredible. Like, maybe this is like a Northern Indiana thing that everyone just makes a malt-forward IPA.
We got to compete with Michigan. Yeah. So,
well, because they're like, here's an IPA. I'm like, this is not an IPA. Like, that doesn't taste like an IPA whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
But I bought a six-pack of it because that's amazing.
Well, yeah. Like, the gold standard up here and kind of around the country is Two-Hearted. Two-Hearted brilliant IPA, but it's all centennial. But it's very, very malt forward, but it's a very dry, clean, easy drinking beer. Yeah. So especially up here for us, we have to, like, in some ways kind of compete with that. And even though that might not necessarily be the kind of beer that sells anywhere else, up here, that's kind of that's our, like, gold standard in a way. Is like, can we have enough of a malt backbone in our IPA to, like, compete with, you know, a Midwest IPA, if that was such a thing.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. I love Two Hearted, but I've never thought of it as a malt forward beer. But at the same point, I don't think I've ever had something like Evil Chipmunk before to really compare it against. So now, going back and drinking Two Hearted, it's like, okay, maybe I can.
Am I fucking this up, Simon?
No.
Okay, he's shaking his head. Right. That's good.
Yeah, he's like, no, you're doing a good job. I don't have to talk. You're good. Let's go.
Good.
No, that's fine. So,
but no, I like.
He hasn't asked
like,
for the mic yet.
Yeah, right.
He's like, I got a beer.
I'm good.
We're good.
Like, we're good.
We're just going to drink.
That's the thing I really like about the kind of beer that we do here is that it's very balanced in every sort of way. Like Evil Chipmunk, like I said, it's a malt forward beer.
That's great.
Static Chipmunk, our double IPA, is. You know, it's got that malt backbone in there, but it's super fruity, super dank. It's like all those things, but you still get that, like, pendulum swing when you're drinking it. It's like, oh, this is, like, all fruity and nothing. But then you get that little hot or malt kick in the backbone of it. So, and it's one of the reasons I really enjoy the beer that we make.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I think we've covered everything. Obviously, we didn't cover all the news, but whatever. We'll save that for
guys.
Next time. It's all right. We're hitting the hour and a half mark. We've had a lot of people complain that 90 minutes is too long. Whatever.
They don't know they're talking about.
Yeah, they don't. They don't. So we'll just listen. We're going to be under 90 minutes, so we're fine. I don't know what that means. He's throwing out like hand signals, and I don't know what
I knew it a bit.
Right. Okay. I don't. Maybe some things are after the show. Then I don't know. We'll find out. So. With that, this is going to be our show. Thank you for listening to the Indiana
Thank
On
you.
Top Podcast.
Podcast?
It was close. Podcast. It's all right.
We're from Boston.
Oh, man. Please, I'm catching up to.
Please listen to the podcast again.
catching up to Dustin. This is why I quit writing, because if you make one grammatical error, everyone is down
oh,
your
that's
throat.
It.
But if you
that's
make a grammatical
said.
Error while you're drinking beer on a podcast, no one gives you shit about it. It's the greatest thing in the world. It's true.
Podcast sounds kind of racist. It's like, we've got an Irish guy on the podcast, so we can call it a paddycast.
We're going to call it the podcast.
Podcast for short.
But hey, there's listen, gold. Wait. There's gold at the end of this podcast.
Yes.
We discerned last time that my family's from Ireland. I'm the O'Quinlan tribe.
Wait,
why are
Simon,
you hating on
Simon,
me?
Do you know his family then?
I do. Actually, they're Quinlans
really
in my family.
Oh!
We're cousins.
Yes! So, this is awesome. So we may have to have some discussions because that's all I know is that we're from Ireland. And when I went there, I found family crest and what they mean and all that fun stuff, which I can't find anymore. But I know
Google.
It's somewhere in that house.
I think you guys are cousins. I
think that's
what
all
that
right.
means.
We are from Ireland, which explains why I can drink a lot more and not be as drunk as this guy next to me.
Fuck you.
Hey, it happens. I'm that's sorry. Nice. You're American, and it happens.
I'm not driving.
He says you're American, and that happens.
He knows that.
I also had a hard time finding this place. And the girl back there said, can we go in there and be really, really quiet? Yeah. I said, yeah, sure.
Oh, man. All right. So we are off rails. With that, we are going to end this show because this is done. Thank you for listening Beautiful. To the Indiana On Top podcast.
Once again, thank you, guys.
Yes, thank you for having us out here at Evil Check for Liberation Day.
Fuck yeah. Thanks for putting up with us.
And we will.
Up with me.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm going to have to deal with that for a 3-hour drive home.
Fuck you.
Cheers, guys.